Okay, Matthew chapter 13 is where we are. You ever tell someone a secret? Raise your hand if you've told someone a secret before. Okay, good. When you have a secret, who do you tell it to? What's that?
People you trust.
People you trust. You don't tell everyone your secrets, do you? You tell your secrets only to certain people, and you do not tell your secrets to other people. Okay. So does God. He works the same way. Today we're going to begin a new section in Matthew. Starting in chapter 13, Matthew is going to start recording some of Jesus' parables. We're going to get a whole bunch of parables strung together. And in these parables, Jesus is going to be teaching about the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. And he's going to do it in parables. So, we're going to start Matthew chapter 13. I'm just going to read the first 9 verses. It says, that same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Okay, so Jesus tells a parable. And I just read the parable to you. A sower is a man with seed. He's throwing seed. You picture a man walking through the fields, and he's got a bag with seed in the bag, and he reaches his hand into the bag, and he pulls out a handful of seed, and he just throws it. And he's walking as he's throwing seed. That's the picture that Jesus is giving. And the seed falls where it falls. And he says it falls in different places. Some of it falls on a path where it's been worn, and some of it falls on rocky soil, and it doesn't have a lot of depth to the soil, and some of it falls on thorny soil. And some of it falls on good soil. And the seed that falls on good soil, soil produces a crop. Some 100, some 60, some 30-fold. Okay, how many of you have heard this parable just now for the first time? Have anyone, this is the first time you've ever heard this parable? Okay, I guess everybody's heard it before. Okay, think back to when you heard this parable for the first time. If you can remember, go back and you're reading Jesus, you get to this point in Matthew, and you read this parable. Did you know what it meant? Just from the parable itself. Or did you say, I have no idea what that's talking about? I can tell you with me what it was. I had no idea what this was talking about when I first read it. And so it's not obvious, the meaning, unless you have an explanation. And so Jesus is communicating the secrets of the kingdom of heaven through a parable. Now, wouldn't it be clearer if he just came out and told you what he wanted to tell you, instead of telling you the parable? The disciples wonder that same thing. Verse 10. The disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? That's a good question. They may not have understood either immediately what this meant. And here's Jesus' answer. verses 11 through 17. And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them.' But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it." Okay, verse 11. Just look at verse 11. Jesus says that he reveals secrets to some people, but not to other people. Right? You see that in verse 11. In other words, when it comes to secrets, Jesus is like you. You don't reveal your secrets to everybody either. And neither does he. So why does he do this? On one level, really, this is God's sovereign choice. You look at verse 11, and you should see something in there dealing with the sovereignty of God. It has been given. To you, it has been given. To them, it has not been given. The verse is a contrast. To you, to them. And you get a very different thing. Jesus is contrasting his disciples with the crowds. The disciples, it has been given to understand. The crowds, it has not been given to understand. And so Jesus has chosen to give these secrets to his disciples. And he has chosen not to give these secrets to the crowds. Now, we may not know all the details of why God does it this way, but he does it this way. And he doesn't really have to reveal his secrets to everybody. He's God. And so this is something we need to understand. God reveals his truth to some people, and he doesn't reveal his truth to other people. And we have to be okay on one level with letting God be God. He's God. He doesn't have to do what we think he has to do. So that's one reason why Jesus does this. There's an element of God's sovereignty here. There's another reason why that's in this text, and that's in verse 13. And because he tells them, this is why I speak to them in parables. And he says, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. He's saying the crowds, they see, but they really don't see. They hear, but they don't hear. And they don't understand. They see, but they are blind to God. They hear the words, but they're deaf to what they mean. They have no idea what the words are saying. And Jesus then quotes Isaiah, starting in verse 14. And Isaiah goes verses 14 and 15. And Jesus is saying, what these crowds are doing, they're seeing, but they don't see, and they're hearing, but they don't hear, and they really don't understand. He's saying, this is what Isaiah said. It's a fulfillment of Isaiah. And when you look at what Isaiah says, you see why these people can't see or understand. And so look at verse 15. And you tell me, why can't they see from what verse 15 says? Okay, their heart has grown dull, so they can't understand because their heart is dull. And why can't they see?
They close their eyes.
Their eyes are closed. These people's eyes are closed. Now, if they would open their eyes and their hearts, they might see and understand and turn, and God would heal them. In verse 15. So Jesus teaches in parables then for two reasons. And those two reasons amount to two audiences. To you, it has been given. To them, it has not been given. And that's partly, that's why he's teaching in parables. He teaches in parables on the one hand to illustrate the secrets of God to people to whom it has been given. But he also teaches in parables in order to hide the secrets of God to people to whom it has not been given. And the parable does both of those things at the same time. It illustrates and it hides. It just depends on how you see it as to whether you actually see what the parable is saying or not. Now, this contrast to you, to them, continues. So, look at verse 14. He says, as he introduces Isaiah, he says, indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. And go to verse 16. But blessed are your eyes. That's a contrast. In their case, they are just like Isaiah. But blessed are your eyes, for you see. And your ears, for they hear. And so the contrast that began in verse 11 is still going on all the way through this section. So, God hides from them, God reveals to you. That's what Jesus is saying here. Now, God does not reveal the same things to everybody. And as you begin to think about it, yes, he shouldn't reveal the same things to everybody. I've been sharing with you, I've been attending these dialogues, Muslim-Christian dialogues, and it's been, on one level, it's been very sad because they don't see. They hear what we say, but they don't hear what we say. As I was preparing this text, that just immediately came up to me was some of the interactions I've had with some of these Muslims who they don't hear, they don't get it, they don't hear, even though they heard. They heard the words. But it's not just the Muslims that I've been dialoguing with. You got neighbors who are like this. There are professors at UT who are just like this. I had professors when I was in theology professors who studied their whole life the Bible. And they knew what it said, but they didn't know what it said. They saw, but they didn't see. And that was their field. You've got parents who are this way, family members who are this way, co-workers who are this way. They see and they hear, but they don't see or hear. They don't get what God is saying. Now, sometimes we like to explain everything to everybody. At least, I don't know, maybe that's not you, but I do. So make sure you understand it, you know. I'm that way. I'm wired that way. Jesus really didn't do that. He wasn't wired the way I'm wired. For some people, Jesus was perfectly content to just leave them in the dark. Now, that seems kind of cruel to us on one level. But, Jesus said, you don't throw your pearls to the pigs. And I think that's part of what this is. I mean, people who are going to reject no matter what you say or do, why would you give them precious stuff? All they're going to do is turn and trample them in the mud. I shared with you a few weeks ago the story when I had that experience with the Muslim guy that I was talking with, and we were talking about something from the scriptures, and I wanted to explain, make sure he understood. And I told you, he said, if that's what Jesus said, then Jesus is a joke. And I was so mad. And as I've been thinking about that interaction that I had with him, I don't think I should have given him the information I gave him. I think I messed up. I think I should have just, you know, hidden the information, or not hidden it, but not gone down that path with him. But I wanted to make sure he understood. And I think I made a mistake with that. I gave him a pearl, and he threw it in the mud. And that's what he did with it. And he threw it in the mud because he doesn't see. He didn't see. This is why Jesus taught in parables. But he also taught so that his disciples then and today would see. To you it has been given. Because he explains the parable to his disciples. Verse 18. I'm just going to continue reading. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Okay, so he began this chapter with a parable, right? The guy with scattering the seed from his bag, he's throwing it on the ground, and the seed falls on different kinds of soil. Now he's going to tell you what it meant. And so, you know, when you first read it, and you said, I have no idea what this is talking about, you just keep reading, and Jesus explains what he's talking about for you. And so he says the seed is the word of God. Look at verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it, that's the path. Look at verse 20. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word. Look at verse 22. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word. Look at verse 23. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word. Boy, in every case, this is someone who hears the word. And so the seed that hits the ground is the Word of God. And so that's the first thing of the parable. To Jesus, the Word is the message of the kingdom. To us today, we use the Word of God to talk about the Bible. Well, the Old Testament existed, but the New Testament didn't actually exist yet when Jesus is telling this parable. So he's not technically here referring to the New Testament, although for us, I don't think it's inappropriate to make that application. It is the Scriptures where we find the Word of the Kingdom, is in the New Testament. And so that's the Word. The seed, sorry, is the Word. The soils are people's hearts. And different soils represent different kinds of people. And so the Word of God gets sown on different kinds of people. Different people hear the message of Jesus. And different people respond differently to the message of Christ. That's the main point of the parable, is that you have different people who respond in different ways to the word of the kingdom of the kingdom of God. And so he's got these groups now. The first group, that you remember the first group, the soil landed on the path, and the birds of the air came and snatched it away. And he says some people are like this. The path has been walked on, and it's hard. And when the seed hits the hard path, it can't get any root. It can't dig into the soil. It can't penetrate. These people hear, but they don't hear. They're just like the crowds. They're just like what Isaiah was predicting. That's what these people are like. Their mind is made up. They already know. What do you have to tell them? They know. Oftentimes, not always, they can be very well educated, very well off financially. Sometimes they're too smart for God. And because they're well off, they feel they don't need God. Sometimes they're just given over to their culture. It could be religious people, like the Muslims I've been talking with, who are blind for religious reasons. It could be secular people who've given themselves over to a secular culture. They're, in many ways, they're religious in their secularism. And there's a lot of that today, people who are religious in their secularism. And they simply won't see. They don't want to see. At least they don't want to see that. And so they reject the word. They reject it outright. It never gets any legitimate listening from them. That's the first group. Some people react to God's message in that way. But there's a second group. There's verses 20 and 21. As for what was sown on the rocky ground. So remember, some of the seed fell on rocky soil. So some people are like this, Jesus says. Some people, they actually like what the Word of God says. They hear it and rejoice. You see that in verse 20. But they have no depth. The soil is rocky. It only goes down 2 inches. And so the roots can't get any depth to them. They're fans of Jesus. They like what he says. They love what he says. They cheer at what he does and says. But what they are not are soldiers willing to die. And Jesus is looking for soldiers, not fans. Jesus isn't a rock icon. He's more of a general looking for an army. Now, in the beginning, these people look really promising because it says it quickly sprouts, it quickly grows up, and it looks really good. You think, oh man, this is going to give us a good crop here. Because in the beginning stages, the plant looks just like any of the other plants. They look the same as people who have real faith. But Jesus says over time, when difficulty comes, you know, the sun, the summer heat comes, and they don't have enough root to endure the summer heat, and they wither away into nothing. So when trial and difficulty comes, these people run. They don't want it. Jesus is great until you lose your job because of him. And so you choose the job instead of Jesus. Or Jesus is great until he makes family relationships more difficult. And so you choose peace in the relationships instead of Jesus. When the weather is pleasant, they're Christians, so to speak. They look the part. But turn the heat up and they lose interest. Guys, at some point in your life, it's going to get hot because of Christ. That will happen. And when that happens, remain faithful. Don't dry up. That's the second group. That's the second way people respond to the message of God. There's a third group. This is the thorny soil. This is verse 22. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. So these are people who hear the word of God, but the message of God's kingdom is one message among a thousand messages. And it kind of gets lost in the crowd of all the messages that are competing for their attention in their life. The word of God is one priority amongst a thousand priorities. And all of those other priorities grow up around it and choke it out so that you kind of lose that priority of God in your life. Because, well, you have other things to do. The message of the kingdom never stands apart in their lives. They have too many other cares. They're distracted. They're distracted because Jesus is not the priority. They like Jesus, perhaps. They just like money more. They may think Jesus to be wonderful, but not as wonderful as the latest movie. They're so busy studying for the test that they don't have time to be with Jesus. Later, Jesus. I'm busy right now. Can't you see? Their minds are so focused on whatever, boyfriend, girlfriend, that they forget they have a greater friend in Jesus. These people do not do anything for the kingdom of God because the kingdom of God is not really their priority. Their priority is something else. They like what Jesus says. It's just not a priority for them. They have other things that are more important. They like Jesus, but they don't want to get too radical for him. They're more interested in basketball or computer programming or hiking or cooking or making money than they are in knowing God and the kingdom of God. Something else takes over in their lives and chokes out the word of the kingdom. Now, in this parable, in verse 22, you see that these people never bear fruit. They are unfruitful, it says. There are lots of people in lots of churches who are this way. Then there's a fourth group. There's another way people respond to the message of the kingdom. These people, they hear the word and understand it. In other words, they're not like those people, the people Isaiah predicted. You know, their hearts were dull. You know, seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Well, these people understand. And they give their lives to it. And they bear fruit. And they bear different amounts, Jesus says. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And they're all good soil. Jesus considers the person who bears 30 to be just as good a soil as the person who bears 100. You don't have to start 5 mission organizations and plant 100 churches to be good soil. You can be you, but you need to be committed to Jesus. It means that when difficulty comes, you stand for Jesus. Not like the rocky soil. That doesn't bear fruit. It means that Jesus gets your time, your money, your attention, more than anything else. Not like the thorny soil. That doesn't bear fruit either. Now, I want to step back from the parable now. We walked through those 4 different soils, right? I just want to step back and look at the big picture. I told you the main point. Different people respond differently to the Word of God. And Jesus just gave us many different ways to reject the kingdom. There are lots of ways to reject the kingdom. There's only one way to walk in it. And some of the ways of rejecting it look like they are accepting it. In the rocky and the thorny soil, the plant grows and looks good in the beginning. And so, how do you tell real faith from someone who just looks good? From the parable, I see 2 ways. The first way is time. Real Christianity endures. Sometimes you hear stories about, I used to be a Christian, but... And then they'll tell their story, you know. Bart Ehrman, good example. Time is a test. If you're a Christian for 2 years and then you're not a Christian anymore, maybe you were just rocky soil. Maybe you were just thorny soil, but you didn't bear any fruit. If you'd been real, you would have endured. You looked good in the beginning. You thought you were the real thing. But deep down, you're interested in something else. And that was always there. Time eventually brings that out. And so, if you want to know, just wait. Sometimes it's hard to tell. Is this person rocky soil or is this person fruitful, good soil, fruitful ground? You don't know. It's okay to not know, by the way. But that's the first test from here. Time. Just give it time. Second test. Fruit. Only one soil bore fruit. The other soils did not. Fruit is what God is looking for. He said, any branch that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire in John 15. Fruit is what God's looking for in your life and in my life. The scripture has kind of two types of fruit. One type of fruit is where God changes you. You can think of Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. You know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, goodness. Self-control. But that's a work that God has done in your life. He's changed you, and he calls it fruit. The second type of fruit is where God uses you to change others. They're both legitimate types of fruit. Jesus doesn't here spell out which kind of fruit he's talking about. But I rather think that both types should be present in a person's life. God should change you. And there should be fruit in your life of a change that came because you met Jesus. At the same time, we should be actively spreading the message of Christ to others. In other words, God should be using us to change other people as well. Both of those types of fruit are things we should see in our lives. To bear fruit requires a commitment. And it requires a commitment when it gets hard, so that you stay with him. And it requires a focus. And it requires a focus in the midst of a lot of different distractions of life. Life has throws all kinds of distractions at us. God wants us to stay focused on Christ. If we focus on all that other stuff, in the end, we're just wasting our lives. Okay, I'm going to close this way. I'm just going to give you a minute. I'm going to ask you to pray. I'm going to ask God to show you where you are and what he wants from you. If you think, well, man, I don't know, maybe I'm rocky soil, or maybe I'm thorny soil, maybe I'm too interested in all this other stuff, ask God. And if you think there are things like, ask him to clear it away. God will clear the ground. He can clear stones and pull weeds. Farmers do that kind of thing with the land. Well, ask him to do that with your heart, if that's something that is there. But you got to be committed and you got to mean it. And so we're gonna pray. What I'm gonna do is actually ask you to go off by yourself somewhere for 5 minutes. Pray, asking God, based on this parable, you know, what's for me? Where am I, and what do you want from me, and what's the next step? And then we'll come back, and when we come back, we'll just have lunch. And so let me pray real quick for us, to close us, and then I'm just going to let you go somewhere for about 5 minutes, and then we'll come back. Bless your name, Lord God. I pray by your grace that you would make us your people who seek you with all our hearts, and serve you and love you with all of our hearts. Thank you for your word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.